That bumper I dedicate to Zane Caplansky. Jerry Agar is the conservative host of the Jerry Agar Show, which launched in 2010 and airs on Toronto's News Talk 1010, weekdays 9 to noon. Grew up in Gilbert Plains, Manitoba, started his career as an all-night DJ in Dolphin, Manitoba. He married an American. I don't know how he did that. Moved to the United States, where he started his talk radio career in 2000 with a show in Raleigh, North Carolina. From there, he went to KMBZ in Kansas City, then to Chicago, where he worked on WLS in the morning while doing an evening show for WABC in New York from studios in Chicago. He was a writer for a think tank, the Illinois Policy Institute. He now does a weekly column for the Toronto Sun. Newstalk1010.com is where you'll find all things about Jerry Agar, and he's in the studio with us right now. We thought we'd start off with a little Motown Friday for you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You know, when you first came onto the airwaves, I'm sure everybody was doing the comparison with Bill, right? That's what people do. Ah, oh, he's not like Bill Carroll. He's not like Bill Carroll. How many Bill Carrollites do you think you won over? How many do you think you just got rid of?
Well, I don't know. If there was a change-out, the numbers didn't go away. I didn't get that so much as I got the I had come here from the United States. People didn't realize I was Canadian at first, no matter how many times I said it. And the comparison was Rush Limbaugh, really.
Really?
Yeah, some American conservative radio guy, you know. That's what I heard a lot of. And people would say, oh, you're a Rush Limbaugh wannabe. And I said, yeah, he makes $30 million a year.
I want to be there.
Yeah. I'm sorry you think that's a failure.
So when Bill Carroll went to L.A. and did the KFI thing, did they think, oh, here's this Canadian guy who thinks he knows all about L.A.? And
maybe they did. I don't know. I don't really know Bill Carroll. Bill,
I thought you guys would, you know, chat every once in a while.
No,
and
actually,
go bowling together.
No, we didn't have a chance. I came in on a Thursday night. On the Friday, I went to the radio station. I went on with Bill, and he was saying goodbye, and he introduced me.
I watched that video,
and then he left town.
Yeah,
so that was it.
Take that personally.
Yeah.
Now he's in Ottawa.
Yes, he is. Just came back just recently. Just started in Ottawa the first of this month, I think.
Do you think he was trying to get your job? Hey, get it back?
I don't know if he asked for it back.
Tried to sneak him a backdoor deal or something? Get rid of that Jerry guy.
I built walls.
What does it mean for you, having grown up with Dad being the postmaster? What comes with a postmaster shadow? Like, I imagine postmasters being a little like Cliffy Clavin, a little strict, a little by the rules, and no matter what, and you can grow up, be a man, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, that wasn't because he was the post office. That was because he'd been in the Army. Yeah, he was a farmer, and then he was in the military during World War II, and he was a farmer, and he ran the grain elevators, I think he liked all that, but he had asthma, and the grain elevator and the asthma didn't go together well.
No.
And then this opportunity came up, and he wrote the civil service exam or something, and he got that job. So that's what he did.
Gilbert Plains, Manitoba.
Yep.
Home of how many thousand people?
I don't think there are 1,000. I think it's 800. But the sign, I don't know, it's been some years since I've been back, but I think at one time the sign claimed there were 1,000, and not only that, Drew, it was home to 1,000 happy people.
Happy people.
Is what the sign said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gilbert Plains, Manitoba.
Yeah.
The number one pickup line is, hey, baby, nice tooth?
Toque.
Oh, toque, I see. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Got to get that right. Now that you've been in Toronto for, how many years now?
I'm in my 7th year doing the show.
Do you feel like you're now part of the center of the universe, Toronto?
Well, I feel like I know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when a news story comes up, I know the background on it. If the story has to do with Mel Lastman, then maybe I have to do a little research. But, you know, at this point, I mean, I was here while Rob Ford was running. I went through that whole administration and now his passing, sadly. And so, you know, a lot of the stuff that is the day-to-day activity we talk about on the air, whether it's municipal, provincial, or federal, I've been through the background of it. You know, we're not usually talking about stuff that reaches back decades.
No. It's not like you're dropping Betty Kennedy lines or references or Gordon Sinclair references.
You want to hear something funny about that? What? John Moore, who does the morning show on our station, said one day, because I forget what happened, he said, wow, Betty Kennedy must be turning over in her grave.
And
the phone rang, and it was Betty Kennedy.
No. Are you kidding? Just unbelievable.
She invited him over for lunch, which was nice.
Wait, is she still alive?
Yeah, she still is alive, yeah.
I would love to speak with that one.
Well, you should get her on this show.
Great memories of
those
days.
Wouldn't that be great?
I was forced to listen to CFRB growing up. Every morning at 7:45, I would wake up to my mom turning on the radio,
yeah.
And it was CFRB.
Yeah.
And Betty Kennedy, Gordon Sinclair, Ray Sonnen, Down Memory Lane was one of the music. See, you don't even know that, do you?
No, but I actually won a Gordon Sinclair Award since I came here, and I was another embarrassing moment. I got it, and I said, "Wow, this is great because you know Gordon Sinclair." I mean, I remember when and they said, "Well, the award's named after his son."
Oh no!
Yeah.
Agar, that's a horrible
move,
man.
I hope he wasn't listening.
Listen, if anybody's going to put their foot in their mouth, it's going to be me. I have a spiritual gift of doing that. Do you remember when I hosted that March of Dimes thing?
I do.
You see what I'm talking about? The spiritual gift of putting
one's foot. Why is this guy here?
I know.
Yeah.
It's a tough gig. Oh, well, we got a lot of money raised that night.
That's what counts.
Yeah. You thought, why is this guy here? G. Gordon Liddy.
Yep.
He went. You were a substitute for him. He went down. What, did he have a cold or something? And you stepped in.
He just needed a day off. And he had a national show. I filled in for a few people nationally when I was in the United States, and he was one of them.
Nobody bigger than Liddy, though. That's got to be the biggest name you filled in for.
No, Mark Levin.
Oh yeah.
Mark Levin, who's probably the third most listened to talk show host in America.
Who are the top two?
Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it all right? Does the right still dominate talk radio in the States?
I think so, yeah. The Air America experiment, where they decided to put together a network of liberal talk show hosts.
Tanked?
Well, it's still there, I suppose. It limps along. But it really is usually on the B and C radio stations in a community. It's not... It never, you know, I thought Jay Leno actually had it right when they were first putting that whole experiment together. He said, hey, there's going to be a network of liberal talk show hosts, which is great because we've got the conservative talk show hosts, and the liberals need the help because other than this, you know, what have they got other than, well, the New York Times and the LA Times and Time Magazine and Newsweek Magazine and, you know, like he just wanted
Post.
ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, NPR.
Stop it. I know you would never do this, Jerry, but on your Wikipedia page, which I know you've never seen, there's a belief section.
Is there? Okay.
Agar,
what do I believe in?
Agar has shown skepticism about the effects of global warming on polar bears and has written many blog entries critical of the current scientific consensus on global warming. True story?
First of all, there isn't a global consensus on global warming. There just isn't. A lot of the aforementioned media only talk about the one side of the debate.
Right.
The second part of it is, when I have questioned the thing about polar bears, I've only quoted, because how would I know, I've only quoted... polar bear experts from places like Nunavut.
Polar bear experts. Imagine putting that on your Christian Mingle profile.
Yeah.
I'm a polar bear expert.
Right.
Agar is a strong advocate for the war on drugs and has been very critical of the safe injection site Insight, the only legal supervised injection site in North America. This position has been the source of criticism.
Everything I do is a source of criticism. So what?
Agar has... I want to keep going here. This is fun.
Okay.
Agar has been critical of gay-straight alliances being forced onto Ontario Catholic schools as an effort to combat bullying.
I don't think it works. I don't think that move works to combat bullying. I don't get how it works. It's if you question... This is the problem. If you question something like that in its efficacy, then all of a sudden people think, well, he must be against gay people. No, does that work?
Right.
That's what I want to know, right. And I haven't seen that it does.
Who is the face of conservatism today in Canada? Who's the poster boy? Is it Ezra?
Well, when Sun News Television was up and running, he certainly had more of a presence.
Yeah.
So Ezra Levant would have been one of those people of hard right conservatism,
right.
I guess.
Are you just left of Ezra?
Oh, I don't know. I think I present differently, but we probably fall into the same camp on a lot of beliefs.
Right.
Yeah.
What did he get sued for? Lying or something? Was that it? He got sued for something.
No, he got, he insults people, hurts their feelings.
All right. I hate when that happens.
Yeah, there's a great video, if you can find it online, where it's a video of a proceeding at the Human Rights Tribunal here in Canada. And this cabal of unelected people who just, I'm not exactly sure where their power is supposed to come from. And they called him in, but they can put penalties on you. And I thought it was terrific what he did because he's sitting there and the woman reads out the charge, which is that because of comments he'd made about fundamentalist Islam, this guy, I forget his name, was insulted. And so he was charged with insulting the guy. And Ezra, you know, how do you plead? And Ezra says, guilty. And the woman says, really? Because she was kind of surprised he said that. Yeah. And he said, well, he said his feelings were hurt. I hurt his feelings. I'm guilty. And now I have to sit here and deal with your little kangaroo court.
How'd that go over?
Not too well. But I mean, but he was right.
Yeah.
It's like, people don't have a right not to be insulted. They have a right not to be slandered.
What about Charles McVitie? Do you ever heard of that name?
I have. I don't think he speaks for conservatives in this country. I don't know that we have a conservative presence here in this country in the way that, say, a guy like Rush Limbaugh in the U.S.
Jerry, why do conservatives have to be so wacky? Come on.
I don't know. Why do liberals have to be so dumb? Here's why I said that. Because I read somewhere and I thought it was so fantastic. It's not true. It's just funny. And that is that liberals think conservatives are mean and self-interested, and conservatives think liberals are stupid. And maybe at the far edges that's true.
Sure.
You know, but it's not, you know, it's not true that liberals are stupid, and it's not true that conservatives are just mean and self-interested.
Who is the most liberal guy on your station? John Moore?
On the air, yes, John Moore.
So do you and John...
Well, there's some guys on the weekend. There's some people on the weekend.
No, they don't count.
Oh, no.
They don't.
Okay.
They asked me... No, they didn't ask me. No, I'm just kidding. Have you and John ever gone toe-to-toe, head-to-head?
Yes. Such that it's resulted in meetings.
Really? You've had meetings?
Yeah, meetings.
Meetings.
Not lately. We've managed to be able to sort of smooth that out over six and some years, but six-plus years. But yeah, in the very beginning.
What does it say about me, Jerry, that I like John Moore? Mm-hmm. And Jerry Agar. What does that say about me?
Well, I don't
personality
think
disorder.
I don't think that's unusual. Really? What are you going to dislike somebody simply because of their politics? I mean, I there are people I dislike who part of what I dislike is their politics, but that's secondary. It's just once you're irritated by the person, their politics is intolerable. But if you know, there are plenty of people who are liberal that I like. John Moore and I get along well enough.
Okay, across the board for me is Tim the Tool.
Uh-huh.
He earned his nickname just a little while ago.
Totally.
He's
by helping out?
No.
By messing up.
He's a tree hugger, right? He's a kumbaya guy over here.
I didn't wear my Birkenstocks today, so
no, but how would you be able to sniff out a liberal? Okay, can you sniff them a mile away?
Not until I hear them talk about
what would be the
You know what? Usually because they just say it.
They say, hi, I'm a liberal?
Well, I'm a liberal. They seem to think I need to know that.
Right. Hi, my name's Tim, and I'm a liberal. Yeah, do you have support groups and stuff?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Tim, you know that I have a saying, changing Canada one person at a time. So maybe today's your turn.
Baby. Yeah.
It could go the other way, too.
I don't think so. As far as guests you've had on and things that have stand, I get asked that all the time. Whenever I get interviewed, who's your favorite guest and what stood out for you? Obviously, the Stephen Harper thing has got to be a big deal. That was kind of a cool thing. No? You're looking at me like...
No. Yeah, usually when people ask that question, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for you to name somebody they know, a celebrity or a big-time politician or somebody like that. And certainly I've had moments throughout the course of my career, even before talk radio, because I've been doing this a really long time, that really stand out with celebrity-type people.
Yeah.
But there are moments that I remember where I couldn't tell you the person's name. I can just tell you the story they told me. Yeah, a caller who just called in to – I'll give you a quick example. We were talking about the woman who was – I think her last name was Smith – who was charged with killing her own children. She loaded them into the car and ran
into the water.
Yes. And then lied and said a black guy did it and all of that.
Sure.
So they figured out pretty quickly that she did it. And I was talking on the air about trying to understand as a parent, like, how can you possibly – and how could a mother – and a woman called to tell me about the time she tried to kill herself and her child.
Wow.
And she was parked across.
No, hold on. As a jerk and a skeptic, a spiritual guest of pessimism, I would wonder, because there's a lot of whack jobs that call into radio shows, and they end up owning their own, and that's me, and I'm going to pretend that's me. And they live in their fantasy worlds and spin goofball stories.
Well, anything's possible. But it sounded totally credible to me. And she talked about how she was just so depressed and how does a woman do that? Well, she's not thinking clearly. Therefore, you're not going to understand it. She was parked across the railway track with her baby in the car waiting for the train to hit. And a friend of hers knew she was in trouble, realized she wasn't at home, and drove around town, found her before the train showed up. And I remember I said to her, so what's the outcome of this?
Yeah.
And she says, well, now she's all grown up. My daughter, she's doing well. She's in her 20s. And I said, well, she live here? And the woman went, oh, my God, no. I mean, I wouldn't call you, because she might hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow, that's a great answer.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That stands out with the Tory Stafford story.
I should probably start taking callers again. I stopped.
Did you? Well, a lot of them are nuts. Okay. Most of the ones who call me are fine.
Because he agrees with them. That means they're both nuts.
No. Well, that's what a phone screener is for.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'll tell you another quick one. A lady called the day that the court proceedings were all done on the Tori Stafford case, the little girl who was kidnapped and stuck in a bag and killed with hammers, and it was such a horrible story. And our news director had followed it all, but could not report a whole lot of it.
Is this Dave?
Dave Trafford at the time.
Oh.
That's right. And then he could come on. He came on my show and started telling the whole story, details people didn't know. And I found it very difficult show to do, to just be able to continue to speak to him without sort of falling apart my own. And then he gave one of the details, which is where they had found her body, under sort of a rock pile in a rural road, and a lady phoned who lived across the street from the pile of rocks. And just... she didn't really have a story to tell because she didn't know that the little girl was there, but she'd been so emotionally caught up in the story in the first place that just the raw emotion of her dealing with that moment with us on the air was unbelievable. It was, I think, about a minute before noon when she actually got on the phone, and I started talking to her, and the people in the newsroom were waving at me like, just blow off the news. Just keep going. Those are the moments that I remember.
Have you ever lost it on air? Have you ever cried on air?
Yeah. But on the radio, I try to cover that up.
Sure.
Yeah. Because, I'm not going to become a blubbering bowl of jelly. What good does that do anybody? I have a lot of emotion and passion on the air, but I don't want to lose it.
You ever laugh so hard at something inappropriate? That never happens on this show. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's like that thing on Mary Tyler Moore many years ago where the clown died and she goes to the funeral.
I just can't stop laughing.
Can't stop laughing all the way through the funeral.
A
little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down your pants.
I don't know if you want to share this. Maybe you can't. If you share your biggest blunder on my show, this might be the biggest blunder on my show. But do you have any blunders that you can share on my show?
I haven't had any blunders that have gotten me into trouble.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a highly trained broadcast professional.
Right. And that would be the difference between Jerry Agar and Drew Marshall.
Yeah.
We had Stephen Harper on our show the year he was up for prime minister.
Okay. And, well, he was up for prime minister a couple of years.
Yeah, but I mean the first time.
The first time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was the leader of the opposition.
Yes.
And people have listened to that and said to me, boy, I've never heard him be that open in an interview. I mean, we went about 20 minutes and we talked a little bit about his faith, you know. And I think in Canada there's a stigma to talking about your faith.
I think that's unfortunate.
But do you think it's true?
I do think it's true. I think this country moves more and more toward, if not atheism, certainly agnosticism, and this mistaken idea that there is a separation between church and state. I think
there is no separation.
What I believe in separation of church and state is that the state stays out of your religion. It doesn't mean religion stays out of government. People of faith have every right to run for government, and they have every right to use their faith to determine how they're going to vote, what kinds of policies they're going to support. To think that we would then become some sort of government run by one religion in this country is ridiculous, because you're going to have Jews, Sikhs, Christians, any religion you can think of. Those various people are there at various times. It creates its own check and balance.
Justin.
Yeah?
The very name has sent shivers up.
I have all his CDs.
Is it disrespectful to refer to our prime minister as Justin?
No, because he ran with a webpage, justin.ca.
I'm so interested in your response to this. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why I was interested in your response, because I thought it was the same as mine. Uh-huh. If you didn't have the same opinion as mine, I wouldn't think it would be.
Yeah, he didn't run under Mr. Trudeau, sir.ca.
No.
Yeah.
Do you think
he should have run under son of the older one,
son
the
of,
other one,
son of what's
dot
his name?
CA.
Do you think he has the respect amongst world leaders yet?
No, I don't. I think that he certainly has star power. He has charisma, no doubt. Tall, slim,
sure. He looks like the prince from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, we'll see. And then that that has star power, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. He does have that, and so. The fact that all the media treats him that way, even John Moore, the liberal for my radio station, said the morning after the 60 Minutes piece that it was puffball, and it was, because they're deferential to him that way. That doesn't mean they're respectful of him, I don't think.
No, not at all. No, Do you think, didn't he get spanked at the world leaders table? He got sent down to the children's table.
Was he at the fold-out?
He was at the fold-out table because there was some flip-flop about the jets and the airplanes and the over there and the bombs and the stuff.
I
don't talk about this subject very often.
I would really be interested in knowing what the Pentagon and the President of the United States and the leaders of other countries think about us pulling back the jets. Somebody said to me the next day, they're okay with it in the States because they said, well, this is okay. Yeah, they're being diplomatic.
Yeah.
There isn't a point. There's no, let's face it, our jets in or out are probably more symbolic than otherwise.
Sure.
We're not a big military power.
No.
But I would like the symbolism to go the other way.
I just hope we don't ever send the boats, you know, all of our naval vessels, because there'll be no rides at Niagara Falls. We just can't.
We'll send the guys from Wicked Tuna.
That's the way to go.
Those are tough guys.
I'm saying.
Yeah. I knows what to do, they'll say.
Can you help me understand something? I want to talk about your God stuff in just a second, but before we get there, I'm not a mathematician. I left school early. I was asked to leave four different schools. I just don't understand how being billions of dollars in debt helps you get out of debt.
I don't either. I've never liked
smart
this.
Math people have got to have an answer for this. Jerry.
I know, but you can find smart math people who will give you an answer on either side, which is unfortunate because you know what the saying is about economists: if you laid them all end to end, you still wouldn't reach a conclusion.
Nice.
And so the but if I break it down into my own budget at home,
it doesn't make sense.
No, if somebody's making $50,000 a year, take taxes off of that, but they still want to spend 60, they're in deficit and debt and trouble.
The only time I've heard it make sense is you borrow when the interest rates are low, and as long as you're not borrowing past your assets, then you invest that money, and you reap a little benefit there. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. But they're not investing $39 billion.
No, they're not. And at both the provincial level here in Ontario and federally, where's the plan to pay that money back? You know, somebody said the other day on the radio, and I thought it was ridiculous, that, well, we all have deficit. I mean, we have mortgages. That's not a deficit. That's debt. Deficit is when your outgo is higher than your income.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's unfortunately easy to get people who don't know the difference to vote for you.
Is one of the reasons you married an American is because you're a God guy? Because you have to believe in God in order to marry an American. I read that somewhere.
No, I had to believe in God in order to marry the particular one I married.
Oh.
That was certainly understood.
Right. So Manitoba?
I'm from Manitoba.
Everybody, from Minnesota. Everybody's a Mennonite in Manitoba, right?
Not everybody.
Okay.
No. But I have relatives who are Mennonite.
Right. So the God stuff's kind of a cooler thing out in Manitoba, is it not?
Okay, but being a Mennonite is sort of like being, some people say they're Christian because they came from a Christian family, but they're not really Christians.
Right, or they came from Alabama.
Yeah, or Jews will say, I'm Jewish. That doesn't necessarily mean they're religious.
Right.
And certainly it's been my experience that you can be Mennonite and not be religious.
Are you a God guy?
Well, yes. But I struggle all the time with being a church guy.
Well, you know, that's a moot point. The nuns are the largest, fastest growing group of believers in the world, NONES. You know this already.
Oh, okay.
Do you know this? No, the NONES.
Yes.
They're the ones that check off in the census, you know, what church to go to? None. But do you believe in God? Yes.
Okay. And, it wouldn't surprise me that that's a large group of people. I do go to church. I also go to a small group. Study
really
every couple of weeks on a,
that's
on a
serious
Monday
stuff,
night.
Man.
I do. In fact, I like that better.
Yeah,
I do.
Well, because you get a say.
I get to speak up. Yeah, I only spoke up once in church.
Okay. How'd that go?
Well, I don't know. He said so. Like, he's a pretty easygoing guy, the minister, and he's funny. And I forget what he said, but I just responded to it. But
you're not supposed to do that, Jerry.
No, people. Well, why not?
I don't know. It's written somewhere.
I'm a professional.
It's the 11th commandment. What's your denominational baggage?
Well, it's a basic Protestant, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like when we were in the United States. Oh, I bit my tongue there. I got so excited. We went to a couple of those big sort of evangelical churches.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
I didn't dislike the church itself. I got tired of the bigness of it.
Yeah.
Like you're disconnected. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't speak up there. I was too far back. You know?
No, they sat you there on purpose. Jerry Yeager, back row.
Yeah.
So do you, I think the most vocal God guy who has a platform would be Corin. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah, except he can't figure out what religion
no,
is.
No, stop it.
Well, but no, no, wait a minute. We're friends, okay?
No, no, I said the same thing to him on this show.
And he can't.
I know. He didn't like it when I said
How many religions has he been through?
He's like Cat Stevens.
Yeah, he is. But he can't sing.
No, no, he can't. But aside from it, like, and would you say because Michael is so open about his faith, does he get put in a quadrant, in a corner? Nobody puts Michael in the corner. But.
No, he was in a corner. He was a leading voice in the Catholic Church in Canada.
Yeah.
And he had the book Why the Catholics Are Right. He had a lot of speaking engagements, and he's really blown that up.
But you, what if you jumped on? Like, what if you were more vocal? I've listened to you, Jerry. I hear you're on the radio once in a while, and I've listened to you. You don't. You're not out there with your God stuff, man.
No. Although I defend religion.
Yeah.
Generally, I certainly defend Christianity. But the way I've said it to some people over the years, as I've been a talk show host, because I've had people from, say, a church I'm going to. Well, how come you don't do this?
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, and they'll talk about they listen to James Dobson, for instance, and I'll say James Dobson is a Christian doing a Christian radio show.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian, but I do a secular radio show. I'm not on a radio station that wants to do that.
Right.
We talk about current events. Now, if you listen to my show for very long, you'll figure out.
Yeah, but would Mike ever pull you aside and pull you up on, hey, listen, don't be talking about the God stuff so much. Anyway.
No.
You ever get spanked that way?
Well, I think if I just turned it into a Christian radio show, he might. I mean, if I said, could we all turn to Ephesians? Like, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be a showstopper, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it might be.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're here for a number of reasons. One, we're going to get to our roundtable discussion very shortly. Two, I know I'm not as conservative as you are, but I'm also one of those, I don't even know where my head is at, guys, these days. So I admire the testicular fortitude that you have on the air.
Why do you say that? Do you think it takes any kind of backbone to say what you believe?
Yes. In Canada, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think Canada needs a...
I think we
have a promo that runs on the station. This country needs an enema. And
yeah. Well, you know what God says, love your enemas.
Uh-huh. See?
That should be it.
Right That's there. Right.
I'm glad you came back from the States because you came back soon enough. If you'd stayed any longer, you would have turned into one of those guys. You
know, which guy?
Yeah, Limbaugh-ish.
Yeah? You mean I made $30 million
a
year?
No. Do you ever get accused of stirring it just for the sake of stirring it?
I do all the time, but I don't do that. Right. And part of the reason is because it's like the old saying about tell the truth because it's easier to remember. If I'm just doing something for the sake of stirring it up, I won't remember 6 months ago. 6 months ago, I took a certain position. So I take the positions that I take so that I can remember what I said.
Yeah. Well said.
I say what I believe.
Very well said. Jerry Agar on the Drew Marshall Show. Short break. When we come back, it's the Pub Crawl with Jerry Agar and Tal Backman. Tal's a regular on our show. You might remember him from such song as She's So High, Son of Randy, ex-Mormon. He was in Religious with Bill Maher.
Religious, yes.
And he's a fun guy to have on the show. We're going to talk about Rob Ford, John Gomeshi, ISIS, Hillary, Trump. You know, topics that no one else ever talks about. We break the stories wide open here on the Drew Marshall Show. We'll be right back.